Welcome back, everybody, to the Axis of Easy podcast. This is number 438, the latest and greatest in data breaching and overreaching. This week, Apple patches an actively exploited zero-day leak. There's a fake ID lab in Montreal shut down. Copilot is summarizing confidential emails for people. That's nice. And of course, a U.S. law firm, Len, has sued Lenovo over data transfers to who else? China. All that and more coming up on Axis of Easy.
It's time for the Access of Easy podcast, the weekly technology digest that keeps you ahead of the curve. Brought to you by EasyDNS.com.
Buddy, what's going on? How the heck are you? Things are good over there or what?
No, I'm iced in over here. How about you?
I went to look in my car this morning, dropping my daughter off at daycare, and it is iced over. You're right. You weren't exaggerating. I didn't really think about it, honestly, until we spoke early this morning. But you're right, Mike. It was like terrible out. And then I did see that I think some schools are still like telling people to exercise caution driving in. And there was a guy today when I was walking to daycare who had like a bucket of salt with him. I think he was walking his kids to school. They were in front of him and he was salting behind them. All the way down the sidewalk.
Salting the earth is taking it to a different definition.
Yeah. He's a legend in the neighborhood now. So anyway, yeah, it's okay. The thaw is coming. I've been told that. I've been saying that. We're going to keep waiting for it. Let's go with last week's quote to start. As always, there is only one difference between a bad economist and a good one. The bad economist confines himself to the visible effect. The good economist takes into account both the effect that can be seen and those effects that must be foreseen. That was by Frederick Bastiat. Several people got the right answer, but Charles Smith got it first. Congrats to you, Charles. This week's quote, much shorter. The foundation of all mental illness is the avoidance of legitimate suffering. That is great. If you know that one, put it in the comments. Don't forget to find the answer. You can only look on the back of your Xanax prescription, not on Google, not on Copilot. Not that you'd be using that anyways after today's stories, but if you get the answer right first, you get your next round of renewals on Easy DNS, my friend. Let's roll. Where do you want to begin here with the Apple Zero Day, I suppose?
Yeah. Well, it's no longer out in the open because Apple has provided some updates and it basically closed the loop on this Zero Day exploit. And this was taking advantage of a vulnerability, a memory corruption flaw, and that was within the dynamic link editor, the DYLD. And that's kind of like a doorman for your operating system to manage how apps load and run. And this isn't like a random bug, right? This is something that was used to target an infected chain. And Apple, they said this was an extremely sophisticated attack that was used against specific people. And for people that were going on specific websites or viewing a rigged HTML email, the attacker could then get around the device's security, get access to root privileges. And once you get that, you have access to everything. There is no barriers moving forward. You can install some spyware. You can install some backdoors. You basically have full control over anything. But the patches are out there. I'm not sure what version of iOS you're running, but from what I understand, 18.7.5 is what you want to be running. I don't have any Apple products, so I can't compare. So yeah, make sure that you're just running the latest stuff. And also NSA, they're saying they recommend people should be restarting their devices at least once a week. By doing so, this clears any memory resident malware that they haven't found yet. And it could be, it could be permanently hiding on your disk or on your system, but by doing the reboot, should be able to clear it. So they recommend doing reboots more frequently. And they also say, don't click, and we say this all the time, don't click on anything that you don't understand. If there's something attachment that's in an email, be very careful, especially if it's coming from somebody you don't know. And even if it's coming from somebody you do know, who knows, maybe their system could be compromised and they're sending you something. And you don't want to click on web pages that obviously you don't know what it's all about. Be careful when you're clicking on links. Make sure they are the real McCoy. And by doing so, you'll at least provide yourself a little bit of level of protection. But zero days, are the most nastiest, because the manufacturer, the software provider, does not know they are out there, and somebody could be taking advantage of this for hours, days, months, who knows? And by doing so, they could cause a lot of damage. So yeah, it's interesting that even Apple's subjected to these 0 days. Nobody's unaffected from this, even mighty Apple.
Yeah. I'll just say one thing about the iOS version. So the Apple changed their iOS versions to the year this year for the first time. So actually it was last year, I think they did this in the spring event. So if you're on iOS, what would have been 18 point something point something, it's actually iOS 25 from last year. If you're on 25, you're vulnerable. You have to upgrade to 26, which has been out for a while. I think right now it's 26.3 or 4 or something like that.
Yeah, they say 26.3.
Yeah, so there you go. So you got to be careful with your iOS devices. The targets land, same as usual, right? Journalists, government officials, human rights, you know, activists, we'll call them, although that's got a bit of a negative connotation. And then political dissidents, a growing group, that's become a little more populous over the last few years, I dare say. This is the first 0 day of the year. Do you know how many they had last year, all patched without issue?
3-9.
So almost one a month. That's pretty significant, don't you think?
I think that 0 days are a big thing. I don't think that's a significant number. How many does Windows have?
We don't know. I don't know. Yeah.
You probably will never know, because sometimes things go under the radar. You just don't know. And you know, you get a critical update for something, you just install it automatically. And in that, it's closing off a 0 day that's been previously undisclosed and kind of remained under the radar. We just don't know.
Yeah, I think the other thing to note here, in terms of like the seriousness and breadth and depth of this, you know, I don't want to say an attack, but of this 0 day vulnerability, Google's tag team found it, right? The threat analysis group. They don't chase around like forum posts. They observe states, nation states, you know, like that. That's what they're looking at. So you would imagine that this was on their radar pretty quickly, and Google and Apple both saying very, very secure, very, very sophisticated actor, you know, carrying out these attacks or these hacks. So it's Pegasus, you know, esque in its severity and its skill. So be aware, man. Like, you know, I'm an Apple product enjoyer, as my tag says, but you know, you're not omitted from these threats. You're not, you know, excluded from them. And we've said on the show many times that as time moves forward here, there's going to be more and more sophisticated activities, because more and more people are able to participate in this space thanks to the advent of things like AI and you know, the incentives, let's say, to get into someone's mobile device are expanding every day. So be careful, be aware, update, all those good things.
The only people that are going to be unaffected from this are the CB users.
CB radio.
Can't infiltrate that. So, you know, if there's a nuclear bomb, cockroaches.
What if someone gets on your call sign? Then what?
You're still able to do business, right? all they're just doing is being a nuisance, right? Just switch channels. Don't stay at 19. Go to a different channel. Okay, let's talk about this announcement of arrests of three folks in Quebec. And it is they're doing some sort of investigation over there. Fraudulent documents, credit card ring, the whole nine yards over there. So these guys that were nabbed, the three guys, they face multiple charges, including the production of counterfeit documents and identity theft, and they're going to be going to the courts in the not too distant future. So this investigation has been going for some time. Peaked, in fact, the peak of all this was in March of 2025, just almost 1 year ago, and they did a raid on a manufacturing lab in Montreal. Now, during that time, when they did the lab, police seized over 1,000 or nearly 1,000 forged documents and high-end equipment, including laser engravers, embossing machines, specialized printers, laminators. From that lab, Joy, from that one lab, they were able to produce high-quality driver's licenses, social insurance cards, health insurance cards, Canadian permanent residency documents, and it was very, very difficult to detect it to be fraudulent without specialized forensic equipment. So through this whole raid here, there's everything that they were able to get thousands of individual identities that were stolen, and they were using this in the operation over there. And they believe that this has been going on since 2019, 7 years. And 1,900 victims, it looks like, they had their personal IDs compromised. They forged their identification, sold them in the dark web between $250 and $300. That is rather cheap, if you ask me. And they say that they had a rapid turnaround time of just 24 to 48 hours for the buyers. So they were able to do stuff instantly, much better than Canada Post can. So maybe Canada Post could learn from them in terms of having things done quickly, but not in terms of stealing people's identity and their theft of that nature. So like, I find it to be kind of funny in a way, but also very sad. Furthermore, when you talk about the permanent resident, think of all the people that have come to Canada in the past little while, and a lot of them are going to be forced or asked to leave Canada because their status is going to be expiring as foreign workers, temporary students, whatever. How many are going to be asking for, can I get this document? Can I get it? And using that as a way to stay in Canada and to continually do business here. I'm wondering how many people are going to be doing that. This could be a disaster.
It's interesting because what is the name of the street? Chabanel Street in Montreal, where the ID factory was pinned. You know, that's the textile district and used to have a lot of, you know, manufacturing there. And there still is some manufacturing there, which I think, you know, at least in my head, is a good place to try and come find a job sort of under the radar if you're a foreign landed in Montreal. The average, I shouldn't say average, the percentage of foreign-born people living in Montreal is about 24%. It's higher in this neighborhood. So you have these two kind of, you know, issues. I don't want to say issues is the wrong word, but you have these two suggestions in terms of data points that lead you to believe that the people who are living in this area around this ID plant knew about it, used it, and tried to protect it for as long as they could. 6 years, right? Or something like that, I think you said. So
yeah, since 2019.
Yeah. The interesting thing that I don't have an answer for, and I, you know, I tried to do a little research on this, but it's sort of a dead end because I, you know, also I don't want to wind up on a list or something, but how do you use a fake health card? Like when you bring a health card to the hospital, they take the card, they scan the card, they put it, they do something with that information. It's used, I think, as an identifier and a history valve, right?
Yeah. That's
so, right. So what are you doing with a fake health card? I think driver's license you could use potentially to like vote or get into a restaurant or a club or whatever. Like I get that from, there's like a social aspect there, but the health card, I don't really understand what you would do with it. And so I'm curious as to why they're producing fake health cards. Same with SIN numbers. You can't use a fake SIN number when you need it. Now, maybe it's true you can like register for certain things online with a fake SIN number or a fake health card, but I think when push came to shove, you'd be kind of left wanting in both cases. Again, I didn't dig too deep because I don't want to Google too many times what can I do with a fake health card without you know, giving myself any problems. But
well, walk-in clinics come to mind.
They still take your health card and process it. So
they do, but is that actively done, or are they just putting on your own?
Good question. I don't know. I thought OHIP had a pretty good like interoperability system for the province. I know province to province they don't have them. So is it possible you're going and using something in Ontario with your Montreal health card? Maybe.
Or do they batch them at the end of the day? Or like, is it done real time?
I don't know. Good question. Yeah, good question.
And it could be like now they have it, but when this operation first started in 2019, it probably wasn't as up to date it is now.
Fair. Who knows? Fair. Yeah. Hard to say. Interesting story though, that this is going on in, you know, a major Canadian city. It's pretty weird.
Mm-hmm. Microsoft. Friends don't let friends use Microsoft.
I can't believe, Copilot. I know. I'm a Windows user, but Copilot has got to be just the most, like the most, I'll swear on the show, I know I'm not supposed to, but it's the most dog shit AI assistant, LLM, whatever you want to call it, out there. Every other one I've used has been miles and miles better. I can't believe anyone is using this garbage.
It's included in Bing, am I correct?
It's in the browser in Edge, and also in this Office suite of programs. At least if you own the programs. I'm not sure if you're like a, you know, MS whatever subscription user, you get them, but
they get it. They want
it's an app in Windows too, by the way. Like you can open a Copilot app and use it to do whatever. I'm not sure why you would ever do that, but yeah, let's get to the story.
There's reasons why you don't want to, because there's a security hole in it. And what happened with the security hole, this Copilot was summarizing confidential emails. And for weeks, the screw the data loss prevention policies and sensitive labels that generally put up like a confidential does not care about it. It just goes in there and it just digests all the sensitive messages sitting there in the sent items, the draft folders, you name it. And Microsoft, got to give them credit here, though. They're just downplaying as much as possible. They're calling this a code issue. A code issue.
Did they code it with Copilot? It's all vibe coded on AI. Like that's really where you're getting, right? When people talk about the singularity, what they actually should be talking about is it's like the reverse singularity, where everything just gets worse and worse till it doesn't work because the AI can't do it. You know, that's really where we're headed.
Yeah, well, they said that they were releasing a fix, and it's been rolled out earlier this month. I don't have Windows products. I don't know what the heck's going on with this, but from what I gather, they're currently monitoring the situation, and they're not saying how many enterprise customers were impacted. Just imagine And between, you know, large corporations, government, defense, like whatever, a lot of them, I would imagine, use Microsoft, and those confidential information was digested by Copilot. And Copilot, they don't have a squeaky clean history as well. And, you know, once upon a time, there was something called an EchoLeak vulnerability, and that was just from last year. That was a zero-click exploit. And attackers could go out there and they could trick Copilot into taking data from emails. And, you know, the AI, I'm looking at this, it's just a double agent, right? Like, it's not working for us. It's working for somebody else.
It is funny, like the DLP, like if you have a data loss prevention policy, and I know this because at my job, you know, if I think about the way that my job works, if I want Copilot to do anything at all, I'll be honest, I've tried to use it because it seems like at first glance it might be able to streamline a few things for you. You have to literally give it permission for every time it does something. So you say, give me a rundown of the tasks I've been assigned over the last 7 days, and let's see them, you know, go through my emails to find them. It can't do it. You have to verify, okay, which emails, which inbox, how many days, can I read them, do you want me to like look at attachments? So to get to the point where it's reading and summarizing confidential emails is difficult to do, but somehow they've made a big enough mistake in the code that it's doing it automatically. So it's like a huge L. And also, like you pointed out, it's active for what, a month? Almost a month, it looks like. And so how many people got nicked during that month? They didn't tell anyone. Like these guys they're above and beyond reproach in terms of like the share price for stuff like this. So they don't care. They'd rather just not give themselves the headache and let people continue to give away their information, which is just, it's crappy. It's a crappy thing to do. So yeah. Do you know how many paid Copilot seats there are out there, by the way?
No clue.
15 million. That's so 15, low. It's low, but it's not nothing. Like that's a lot of people who presumably you're only buying Copilot when you absolutely must rely on that service because you're so baked into the Microsoft ecosystem. Presumably that's a business or government or whatever, and like those are your paid seats, those are the emails you're seeing compromised.
And
so
you have no alternative if you're running a large business that has many users and software that's written specifically for Windows, and you've been doing this for years. You just can't pick up and say, you know, we're going to transition to Mac.
That's a 20-year project to do that.
Yeah, you could do that. You're not flipping a switch to get this thing done. But hey, whatever.
Good luck out there, Windows Copilot users. Have fun.
Here we go again, China. The Register, they're reporting on a new class action lawsuit that was filed against Lenovo. Mm-hmm. And this one's a beauty because the suit, it was spearheaded by the Alameda Law Group on behalf of
Alameda. Do not confuse it with the FTX arm's length trading desk circa 2022 or whatever year that was.
Alameda, whatever. It's all part of the same thing. Anyway, these guys, they're saying that the Lenovo website is essentially a giant place to get information. And they say that the site uses first and third party trackers. So quote here, it says, when a user lands on the homepage of the website, and the website loads numerous first and third-party trackers, implementations that measure and record user data. And it says that the likes of TikTok, Facebook, Microsoft, and Google. And the stuff they're getting is the IMEIE, the MAC addresses, the SIM number,
important
demographic
stuff.
Browsing history. And then this, they gather it all. It gets packaged up in a nice little bow, sent off to Lenovo's parent company in China. And the Department of Justice, they have the bulk data transfer rule. Now, this rule was put in place specifically to design to stop the large-scale transfer of information of American people and send that to countries of concern. And one of the countries of concern is China. And the lawsuit they're saying is Lenovo was building a database on millions of Americans, and they could use this in a way for profiting, you know, maybe blackmail in the future. Who the heck knows? Especially for politicians. You get some dirt on them, you never know what could be done. So Lenovo, they're calling BS on all this. They're saying this is all just crap. And they say they comply with all global and U.S. data protection laws. But Lenovo, you know, they have a bit of a history. You go back to 2015, they had the Visual Discovery scandal, and you know, they've settled with the FTC a few times. So clearly, they have had their wrists slapped. And who knows? Maybe they're doing this again. All this is to say is, if you're using Lenovo products, why? You know, like, and even just a lot of products, a lot of them come from China. Think of like the IoT things, and a lot of them have embedded microphones or maybe even a camera on it.
Yeah,
where does this information go? Probably to the mothership. Why? Well, if you
Why
have
not?
Information, right? Right? Knowledge is power, right?
Yeah. And if you have I can actually tell you why it goes to the mothership, by the way. There's three laws in China that we've actually never talked about on the show, but I'll bring them up now. Lenovo Group, obviously Chinese company, like you said, parent company. 2017 law, China's national intelligence law, compels cooperation with Chinese intelligence agencies. Same year, China cybersecurity law, data localization and security review requirements, again, at the government's behest. And then the big one, Len, China's data security law from 2021, government access to data for national security. Again, you can be compelled to give this data up. So as you mentioned, you know, electric cars coming to Canada from the Red Nation, and we are, you know, going to be subjected to some level of spying as well. We have to be, right?
Be careful, and just whatever you buy, be careful. Whatever you plugged in, be careful. Yeah. Anytime you give anything, any sort of access to something in your bedroom, in your living room, whatever, who knows where that information ends up?
Yeah. The other
why
that's right. There. That's right. Yeah, you're exactly. Once it's gone, it's gone. I'll just point out one more thing before we wrap here. This is the first time the DOJ is using its like bulk data transfer rules to sue someone. And if they're successful, I mean, presumably they will be. You can debate the legitimacy of that success some other time, but you can use that same, you know, template to sue other Chinese companies for the same thing. They're all doing this. So where's the line, right? By the way, it's in keeping with the theme we've seen on the political side and economic side, which we don't have to talk about in the show, but there is now an idea about, you know, data and resource and you know, employment, let's say nationalism, that I think broadly is maybe not quite ill-advised, but will be difficult to implement. And you're gonna see the US is gonna go through a bit of a change here in the way they view I think it's fair to say this is like corporate espionage. I don't know exactly if I would call it that, but it's fair to say that you're going to start seeing more and more stuff like this. And China, I think, is going to start having a difficult time doing this the easy way. Well, I don't think they'll stop doing it, but they're going to have to stop doing it the easy way. Yeah.
Yeah. And it could get bigger and stronger, more and more information.
Yeah.
And then it's easy to manipulate people in power if you have something on them. If you know a little bit about them that they said behind the scenes.
Oh, buddy. Your group chats are not safe. That's it for this week. Come back next week for more. Subscribe to the YouTube channel if you're watching on YouTube. If you're on a podcast feed, like the podcast, rate the podcast, all those good things. We want to hear from you. And of course, if you want more, there's always more at accessofeasy.com and easydns.com. Until next week, friends, take care of yourselves.